what's big and purple and looks terribly painful? If you said the giant bump in your head you got from repeatedly bashing your face into the wall after watching a shitty movie, you're right. And fuck, I'm sorry, because we watched The Amazing Bulk this week on
B Movie Mania! Am I the only one that remembered to do that?
Welcome to the crossroads of camp, the bastion of the bizarre, the place where low budgets meet high praise. Yes, it's B-Movie Mania. And now, B-Movie Maniacs, here are your hosts, the cream of the crap, the connoisseurs of cult, your cinematic creepy uncles, Paul Brooks, Mike Hayes, Jason Hulls, and Crazy Chris Hudson.
What's big, purple, and filled with Mike Hayes?
Welcome to the show. Welcome to B-Movie Mania. Let me introduce Paul Brooks to you. Jay Hulls.
Hi.
Hello. Hi, Chris.
Mike, I have been better.
What's wrong?
Mike, can I just sigh for 45 minutes? Can that be like my review of this movie?
It would be a better production than this fucking beast of a movie.
Mike, what did you do to us?
I showed you guys the classic 2012 The Amazing Bulk movie.
You sure did.
Listen, guys, I don't know what your beef is with this classic tale of a man who gets mugged and then becomes a monster that looks like a child made it out of clay. It's a mockbuster, technically, I guess, though it's not funded by any of the usuals. It's not an asylum film or anything like that.
Mike, what did you... You were clearly the most enthusiastic about this. What did you like about it so much?
Let's just get this out of the way so we can just bitch for the rest of the episode.
I mean, what I liked about it was how creative it was.
They used clip art, Mike. The entire movie is clip art.
I know. And we'll get into this, but I'm pretty sure it was a genuine attempt to make a film.
I agree. I think it was.
Yeah.
This was not a Birdemic type movie. This is
no,
not. This...
By the way, I think it's important to say something before we get too deep into the woods here on this. If you're listening to the show and for whatever reason you haven't actually watched the movie, because I know that, you know, we're early on here in the in our run here on B-Movie Mania. I'm sorry. I appreciate you listening to the show. I really do. But you need to turn off the podcast or pause it and go watch the damn movie, because there's no way that we can explain what in the purple shit was going on with this movie if you haven't seen it.
Well, this is a movie that I would even recommend watching. Like, some stuff would be like, it doesn't matter if you watch it. I think I had fun watching this movie. I'm just going to say it right off the bat.
Did you, Mike, did you watch it with friends, with some other people?
No, not at any point. I watched it like 5 times in the past 2 months, every time by myself.
Oh, God. And wow. You still had fun?
Yeah.
I could maybe see how it's fun with friends, but God.
My mind is being blown right now because I am trying to look up the plot summary of The Amazing Bulk on IMDb, right? And I had the tab opened earlier today, preparing for this, and it said what the plot was, and the plot was what the plot is. But between probably about 5:30 this evening and now, which is probably about 4 hours, someone has literally rewritten it on IMDb. I don't know how you can do that.
Wow.
It is something else. I'm going to read you what this supposedly says it is, and this is kind of amazing.
Bulk.
The Amazing Bulk. Hannah, an ambitious woman and her father's company, struggled to develop a superhuman serum designed to make someone be a huge bonsai buddy monster. He also...
What?
I don't know. He also strives to eat a lot of dust since he doesn't want it building up in his home. General Darwin, her father, refuses to let her live her own life and fuck who she wants. This creates problems in developing what she set out to accomplish and create. With the military on his side, Darwin sets out to destroy Adolf Hitler and his men who seek to steal what he has created.
No, that's right. No, I read that on Sunday. That was the somebody
was it there?
Yeah, because
well then where did
I read
it go?
I read that on Sunday. I thought it was hilarious. And I was like, was the bad guy supposed to be Hitler?
You said that that's on IMDb.
Yeah. It's like I can't find the proper. I saw the proper plot summary though. I don't understand what's going on. The movie is basically the Incredible Hulk story. Sort of, and told from the view of...
A shithead?
An insane person.
A shithead with crappy tattoos?
Yeah. God. Well, here we go. Amazon's got the proper description here.
Okay.
Henry Howard is an ambitious young scientist who takes an experimental serum for building muscle mass and is transformed into the Bulk, sending him on a bizarre and destructive rampage of revenge from which he may never return. In a world that does not understand him, he wants to destroy and wants to destroy him. So.
So that's great. What happened?
That's. This is literally a movie.
Does anyone know what actually happened in this movie?
We will bring it up. I'm sure we all have. I want everyone, as we're going through this, sort of talking about this chronologically, the point where your brain turned off and stopped trying.
I wrote it down.
Oh, wow.
Did you? I know where it is,
too. I know
too.
Exactly when.
I figured everyone would have the point. So, because this thing, oh my God. Well, okay, first of all, let's talk about the budget of this movie, guys. How much do you think this movie cost to make?
$12. $12.
Give me a legitimate.
I looked it up, legitimate. So I know.
Paul, what do you think? You didn't look it up, right?
I didn't look it up, but that's, you know, I mean, most of the, well, 95% of the movie was done on green screen, and so really all you needed was, you know, a little bit of catering, like a lab coat, and like two fucking Hulk hands from Toys R Us. So like $12. Yeah,
they didn't even have props. They CGI'd so many of the props.
Yeah.
My terrible. Favorite part was the running. Anytime there was running.
God. Okay.
Just running in place.
So yeah, so a la Repo Check, in case, I mean, since that's a good reference that everyone's seen, right?
Thanks for reminding me of that movie.
Yeah. Well, basically, literally every single shot is green screened. Everything, this thing was shot in a sound studio. If you want, I'm assuming it was the smallest sound studio ever in LA. And it's every single shot is green screen. Every single thing. There at no point.
I wouldn't say that the it was the smallest sound green screen studio in LA, because the sound was atrocious. God. It was very airy, and they clearly did not have a good boom operator.
Yeah.
You think they had a boom operator?
Probably not.
I really feel like I'm in the middle here. I know Mike really likes this, and Paul and Chris seem to really not like it. I'm right in the middle, because like I really do think this could be a lot of fun in the right circumstances.
Like, I will watch this movie again. I'm trying to get friends to watch it with me. I want people to watch this movie.
I would do watch it again with friends and alcohol.
Drinking rules.
Anytime your brain goes, what the fuck is happening?
Well, you're, no, come on, don't say that, because you'll literally be in the hospital.
You'll kill your friends. You'll kill your friends, Mike.
That's my plan, boys.
So, Paul, would you ever watch this again?
Well, I've seen it twice. I watched it a couple nights ago for the second time. And here's the thing about this movie for me. You guys know me. I have, you know, I'm a B-movie maniac, and I have certain things that I will watch over and over and over again. The types of movies that are the best B-movies are the types of movies where they really tried to, you know, put their heart and soul into it and make the best possible movie that they could make. And the problem with Amazing Bulk is that I literally have no idea if that's what they were trying to do, or if they were like, let's make the biggest pile of shit we can possibly make.
Yeah, I couldn't tell. I agree with you. I couldn't tell by the tone. It was, part of it was, seemed like they were taking it very seriously, but so much of this was like, what were they thinking? Like, the acting seemed serious, but all the effects and just a lot of the storyline of the plot was just like, what?
It's very possible the actors had no idea what the final product was going to look like. I don't know at what point he involved them, but it's possible that he just said, oh, this is going to be on a soundstage. It's going to look like Sin City. You know,
that's a good point.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you what the director has said in response to all the criticism he's gotten.
Oh,
I have. This is, see, I kind of liked that it walked that line of like, did this guy set out to make a movie and then like give up at some point, or you know, was it intentional, or is it intentional in not the intent of making a bad movie? Does he think these are funny jokes that he's putting in here? Like, I have no idea what's going on in this guy's brain. And then I read this quote from him.
This is from his name?
Schoenbrunn or something.
Louis Schoenbrunn.
Yeah.
Louis Schoenbrunn.
Okay. So he, in response to the criticisms, director Schoenbrunn has stated that the film is supposed to belong to in the same vein as films like Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Yes. Yes.
And that most critics, quote, just don't get the concept of live-action people in a comic book world.
Yeah, we're just stupid. It's our problem.
It is.
He also said he retroactively considers it a parody.
Yeah, exactly. So he taught me why I sewed it.
That's why I think he was really trying to make the best thing he could with what he had, which may not have been much.
Well, let's talk about what he had. He went down to Best Buy one day and found a $9.99 box of like crappy clip art and just said, I'm using all of this.
It was Turbo Squid and what else? Pretty much all of the main sites he just pulled from.
Yeah, he didn't even go to a store, Paul. He downloaded this shit from online, free sources online.
And are you serious?
Yeah, it took him like 6 months to find everything.
Yeah, because that shot of Zeus was so important to have in the movie. Throwing the lightning bolt. Yeah,
back up. Are you trying to tell me that he wrote the script and then went out and found clips for everything that was in the script?
Paul, I believe so.
Paul, let me read you from Wikipedia about this.
Please.
Director Louis Schoenbrunn was researching stock computer generated imagery for the production of a low budget horror mockbuster of Spider-Man starring a female protagonist. When discussing with the producer the idea of making a comic book film featuring large amounts of green screen, he instead decided to create a parody of the character, the Hulk, though he has retroactively claimed that. Many of the characters had blatant parallels to the story, but yeah, he was doing something totally different and went, I could do that. So then he wrote the screenwriting for the film was completed over a span of 4 months. Spent more time than I would have thought. That's insane. Why was it 4 months? There's no script. Oh my God.
Okay. Mind blown right now. Honestly, mind blown, because I was absolutely convinced that he had access to some sort of video library, and he said, I'm going to build a movie around all these clips.
No, my wife watched this with me, and the first thing she said was, it looked like a homework assignment for a beginner's CG class.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
There was a bunch of different art styles throughout. Like, you'd think, like a movie like Repo Check, which if you haven't seen it, please check it out. It's literally the actual sequel to Repo Man. It is, everything's green screened and it's terrible, but it is consistent. The art is consistent.
Right.
This thing literally starts out one style and you're like, okay, this is what we're getting into. And then it jumps into what looks like a college student, like animation class background. And then it jumps into MS Paint. And then it jumps into fucking like what looks like a 1998, like Oregon Trail remastered version. It's like, it doesn't make any sense. It's all over the place.
So, but that makes a certain amount of sense because, as you said, he was pulling it from various sources online.
Exactly. Yeah, that's why it's not consistent. Apparently, Paul, so getting back to that budget question here, the director financed it himself. and shooting the film cost $6,000 and took place over 5 days. The entire film was shot on green screen stage in California. Audio mixing cost $3,000. Color correction. There was apparently color correction.
You had to get that perfect shade of purple.
Yeah. And then I guess, okay, so he didn't take everything for free. He paid for a lot of the clip art, I guess, but it's all stock images.
Why would you pay for that clip art?
That cost about $4,000.
That was terrible.
About $4,000 for the CGI, the clip art, and like the composer and other elements. So lumped into $4,000 got him a score, which consisted a lot of free like classical music, and what whoever did the shittiest job of 3D animating a purple turd on the screen.
That was custom made.
See, yeah, I'm surprised the bulk was clip art.
Right, me too. Because I'm like, as I'm watching the movie, I'm like, okay, you see it like every now and then, but it's actually really just only like the same four clips over and over again.
I thought it was just really bad motion capture. Like the guy couldn't move in his suit or something. Like it was just the worst motion capture ever.
He is literally, the Bulk runs away a lot of the time. And I don't know if you guys had the same thought, but I instantly thought about that old like 90s 3D animated baby on the internet that danced. Oh, remember that thing? Like it it runs like that fucking baby dances. Like it doesn't, it's like a shimmy. It shimmies down the street. It's weird.
I wish that baby treated cars the same way the Amazing Bulk treats cars.
You mean car? There was one car in the whole film, I think.
There were three cars. One of which was as large as the female cop.
Oh, but yeah, by the way, can we talk about scale a little bit? Can we get into that?
Oh my God. Go for it, Paul.
There are certain shots where the Amazing Bulk, the titular Amazing Bulk, looks to be about 7 feet tall. He sort of like towers over regular sized humans. And you're like, okay, that's kind of a tall, you know, Hulk-like creature. But then there are shots where he's like out running through streets and like a helicopter is following him and like, yeah, he grabs the helicopter and crushes it like he's Godzilla. Like it's, the scale is just all over the fucking place.
Well, to be fair, Paul, the pilot did get really low so he could get the shot because he didn't zoom in.
On his fucking Canon XHA1 that he was just holding.
He couldn't zoom in on it. They had to get down there with that helicopter.
Now, see, Paul,
I'm going to spend the rest of this podcast, I'm going to spend the rest of this time defending the Amazing Bulk.
Now, Paul, I got to agree with Jay for a moment. I think the Amazing Bulk had three powers. Running away, making cars just flip off of him, fly off into space, and change his size at will. Those are his three powers.
Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah, I didn't think about that. Maybe he was a little bit of like a shapeshifter.
Can I ask a question in case I missed this? Did anybody actually ever call him the Bulk?
Was it in a newspaper? No. They showed a newspaper once or twice, right?
I
don't think so. I don't think they ever
were the
did
newspapers
call him the
Bulk. Real or CGI?
They were 100% CGI.
Well, how often does the Incredible Hulk get called the Incredible Hulk?
That's his name, I think, right?
Yeah, no, they call him the Hulk.
I've never seen any of the fucking Marvel movies.
At the very beginning, there were two parody ripoff studio production.
Oh, I think there were three.
Animations.
Oh,
there were
God.
Three, maybe even four.
Was there?
Yeah.
There was Universal. There was Fox. Well, it was weird because it was like, obviously this fucker's like, let's make a funny joke out of the Universal logo, which doesn't make any sense. Like,
is that funny?
No, it's not.
But it is timely.
It did set the tone for like, oh shit, nothing's going to be good in this movie. Because even the jokes are bad.
I just thought they were trying too hard.
Yeah, it's literally, he probably had like $5 more to give the CGI guy. And is like, yeah, all right, fine, I'll do that.
I think it sets the tone. It like lets you know it's okay to laugh at everything.
Yeah, I guess it kind
of
does. So.
But again, that kind of brings me back to like, well, what kind of a bad movie or a B movie is this? Is it a bad movie or is it just supposed to be, you know, trying to be funny? Because there's no way as a filmmaker you make this movie and then say, yeah, I think people are really going to like this.
No way.
Forget it. I looked over at I watched this with my girlfriend a couple nights ago, and I was like eating some food, so I was leaning forward a little bit, and we were like a couple minutes into the movie, and she's great with like laughing and reacting. She's great to watch movies with. I was confused because I hadn't heard anything from her. I turned my head, I looked behind me, and her jaw is just hanging open the entire time. She didn't know what to do.
Well, I think that's the right response. That is like, if you're not feeling that way while watching this movie, there is something legitimately wrong with you.
Correct.
Okay, so let's talk about the hooker then, Paul.
Oh my God. Just wanted to say that I thought she was hot and she was my favorite part
of
the movie.
You think everyone's hot, Paul?
Oh, well, no.
You probably thought the Bulk had a couple nice things going on too.
He had a nice ass.
We didn't even get to see any more of the Bulk in the blowjob scene.
Remember when he got a fucking handy from the Lolita girl?
Yep.
That, like, Lolita chick had, like, one yellow tooth that I just could not stop staring at.
Oh, it shines.
That was also CG.
Oh, see, she did it for me, Paul. Like, I even tweeted at her and told her she was the best thing about the movie. and I got no response.
You did not.
Oh, I totally did. I totally did.
Did you really?
Yeah. I got a couple likes on it, but she didn't respond.
I think it added to her character.
Yeah. Okay, so speaking of those characters, there was the Baron Von or Count Von Cantlove, which we
barely talked about him.
They kept making a cunt joke throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, that was weird, right? And out of, like, there's a little bit of swearing in the movie. It's not like it's grotesque or anything. I mean, they probably dropped the F-bomb a couple times, but they keep making a cunt joke, and it's just, like, so, yeah, it seemed really out of place.
Because, we haven't really touched too much on, like, the main villain and sort of, like, what his deal is.
The general?
Oh, yeah, I guess there's really two main villains. I don't know how to... Who would you consider to be the main villain?
Well, it's the general, the dad. His girlfriend's dad is the main bad guy. Because especially as it turns out, he's pitted the stereotypical German count against... You know, he's double-crossed him. Kind of a deal.
Right. But I kind of think the general's main enemy was Dust.
No, exactly. The general has... this amazing line of just I hate Dust out of nowhere. Like, that's his establishing shot.
That's his introductory scene.
Yeah, I hate Dust. And then he has some weird conspiracy theory that is not told as a joke about how dust bunnies are going to rise up and take over the Earth. And he is not smiling at any point. Not that he had any sort of emotion or expression on his face at any point in the movie.
I just wanted to, again... Probably a nice guy, maybe, but I just wanted to kick that guy in the nuts so hard.
Just so you guys know, the point that really brought me out of the movie, getting back to that, is when the general, his rank looks like stars.
Mm-hmm.
He had a staff sergeant rank on his uniform. So,
Totally.
To the military authenticity of this movie completely, like, ruined it for me. There was no authenticity.
For you viewers who are not aware, Chris is an army man.
I'm a military
man. Are you serious, Chris? Is that the point where your brain shut off and you stopped trying to pay attention to what happened in the plot?
No, that was just one more tally to the mark. Yeah. I just had to say that. I mean...
I'm trying to remember what happened at the 47-minute mark, because I actually wrote in my notes, at 47 minutes, I started to wonder how much more of this there was and how much more I could take.
I made a note about 15 minutes earlier than you, Jay.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's only an hour and 15 minutes long, but it feels longer than that.
Yeah, well, they do two basic storylines. Like, you think the main storyline ends, like when the Bulk, you know, the cops come, there's these cops and they come and they find out that the Bulk killed the mugger and the hooker, or killed the mugger. And so then there's a giant... chase scene, if you want to call it that, that happens, and so, like, that happens, and cars explode, and one of the cops dies by a weirdly sized car.
After careening off the Bulk's leg.
Yeah, and then the Bulk goes to, like, prison, and then, like, at that point's where I stop. Like, I've seen the movie, like, five times, so I know what's coming up, I know everything that's happening, but I'm still just like, I don't want to go through the rest of the movie.
You know what I had a problem with right there? Is there no due process for the Bulk? Like, he just went straight to prison.
Stop defending him.
I wanted some courtroom drama with the Bulk.
But even from the beginning, that bald cop was so suspicious of him. Like, when, you know, when he talked to Henry, or Hank, or whatever the hell his name was, like, in his apartment, you know, where were you? You know, he's just so suspicious from
the... Is that the scene when he had the purple hand? Like, he had the blood still...
In the military compound.
So does he have... Like, does the human, like, version have purple blood? Or... I don't know. I'm so confused.
How could you possibly be confused by this movie? It's laid out so perfectly.
So the movie starts with a flash forward, we find out, of the mugger and then the hooker, right? The mugger does this really, like... If this film was shot by any sort of competent director, that opening scene would be fucking terrifying. Like, the mugger literally shoves a gun in a hooker's mouth and shoots her in the head. Like,
well,
that's
wait,
what happens.
Hold on a second. I'm sorry, Mike, but are you saying that if, let's just take for instance, Martin Scorsese had directed this, but it was still using all the CG elements, it would be better?
No, I meant, like, I guess I did only specify that the director had to change. But you know what? I'm going to go ahead and say that, yeah, I'll stand by that statement.
That's probably true.
If Scorsese directed a stock background CG film, Martin Scorsese's The Amazing Bulk, a CGI travesty, it would be better.
I'd watch it.
You said that the mugger kills the hooker by shoving a gun in her mouth, and it would be terrifying. Well, you do realize as the movie goes on that the Bulk watched all of this happen. He did not stop the mugger until after he'd killed the hooker.
Yeah, he did have some really good reaction acting that was going on when we jumped
did
ahead.
Did he?
No, did he didn't. I was lying. Sorry, I was pulling a J.
it's not stopping, baby.
No, okay, so we see that, and then, like, we jump into, like, a laboratory room, and we find out that the main character is a scientist, and he's a shitty scientist, and there's, like, CGI rats in this laboratory that... that he's testing on, right? He's testing the serum on them, and they literally, when they die, they like a Apple Mac screensaver from 2003 happens on their body, and then they just disappear.
Well,
like,
they disappear in smoke, and the Bulk turns into the Bulk and smoke.
Oh,
so is
Jay?
There a connection?
Maybe. Jay, wait a minute. You're turning me on to thinking this was maybe a properly thought out film.
Wait a second. Yeah, when the rats die, they evaporate in a puff of dust. Now, and so does the human. He has that fart cloud around him, and then he turns into the Bulk. So I'm thinking that was actually intentional.
Wow.
So we find out, like, whatever, he sucks as a scientist. It turns out his girlfriend's dad is a general who's employing them. He wants to ask his girlfriend to marry him, but the dad's like, dick, and he's like, no, you gotta fucking do good science or else you're a deadbeat. And that's when he sees the mugger and killed the cooker, and he kills the mugger.
Then isn't there... Hold on a second. Can I back you up for 1 second?
Yeah, sure. I mean, this is the most... This is like, how laborsome is it trying to figure out and describe the plot of this movie?
I thought this was going to be a quick movie to unpack, but it turns out there's a lot to it.
A lot.
What's the main character's name? He's so...
Hank.
Hank. I don't know if I've ever seen someone in a movie try to propose in a more like shitty fashion to your fiance. Like the first time he tried to do it on like a crappy CG like green chair or something. Was that the first time?
He did it on the subway.
Yeah,
he was going on the subway.
Literally like the goddamn city subway where like a bums have pissed like 10 minutes
before. Right before the mugger mugs him, right? The mugger he kills.
Yeah,
later.
Yeah, right before.
Oh God. Okay, so I just wanted to mention that. Just like, what a hopeless romantic, just proposing on the subway.
Yeah. Well, what I'm trying to push this towards is we mentioned Lolita and the Count von Cantlove, and they live in like a medieval castle apparently.
A clip art medieval castle.
And it's he can't get a boner. So we find out that the serum he's actually paying, the government has stopped paying, so he is paying for the serum to be made so he can to fix his fucking ED. And like, the thing is, we jump to that scene, and there's two guys holding, like, shields.
And their little
like,
300
as guards
masks.
In black, well, the first one, they don't even have masks on. They're just wearing black t-shirts.
Black t-shirts
and I instantly noticed they don't even have the same black t-shirt on. How hard is it to have two of the same black t-shirts? One of them is a crew cut, one's a v-neck. What the fuck? You can't even do that right.
One of them is more stylish.
That's literally what it was. And so, but what I want to get to is the first time we jump to this weird castle, and you're very confused because this is a weird fucking situation in this whole story. We see the weird big titted, bimbo Lolita. She's a dum-dum. And then we meet the weird cartoon character, but real life Baron, whoever the fuck that guy is. And then we catch a CGI dog that has literally no point in the movie. At no point does this dog do anything.
It's like a shitty looking pug.
I was like, wait, did they just throw a CGI dog in here for no reason? And then they cut to close-ups of it, and it's not good. Like, they stretch it. Like, it's pixelated as shit.
It's a mid-90s screensaver. That's got it. That's what it is.
It's fucking insane. Like, that dog baffles me. And so as we follow them along a bit, we realize that this Lolita chick is horny, obviously, but she can't get it from her guy because he can't get it up. So he happens to just have an arsenal of missiles that he sends and blows shit up.
Clip art missiles.
Yeah, like, not just blows shit up. I'm like blows up, like the Hollywood sign and like blow. What else is he blows up? Like cities.
Every monument. Mount Rushmore.
Like the Sphinx and the fucking Eiffel Tower or something. I mean,
what I don't understand is that that happens and you're like, okay, this is a major fucking plot point. Like this changes the course of the movie. Nothing happens with it. Like none of the other characters even mention it.
Yeah, no one even really like knows who he is. I think Hank's even surprised when he hears about him. But as Lolita and the Baron are walking down this hallway, giving double entendre throughout, because we don't know what's happening yet. So they go to that launch room and they walk into that launch room. Chris Hudson, what do they see in that launch room?
The goddamn monkey.
God damn it.
There's fucking a fucking CGI monkey.
God damn it.
Like, for no reason either. Like, that monkey does so little. Oh, wait, no. The monkey does do something amazing.
The monkey saves the moon.
The moon. Yeah, the bulk does nothing to save the moon. That's right. The monkey literally. Oh my God.
That's an entirely different movie. Like, the movie doesn't care that this bad guy is going to blow up the moon and the monkey apparently saves it. That's just totally beside the point. I would watch a movie about a CGI monkey saving the moon.
So the Amazing Bulk really is kind of like almost an anti-hero, a Walter White type, if you will.
Are you Jaying us now, Paul? Are you on Jay's side?
Come over to my side, Paul. It's a lot more fun.
Come over to the purple side. I have to mention this, Mike.
When we hear it.
You know, like, there's a shitty-looking pug, there's a stupid fucking monkey in this movie, there's CG, and they look like hot garbage. But I'm watching it, and I'm like, okay, well, all right, at least they're kind of keeping a consistency with, like, humans are human, like, humans are real humans, and animals and stuff like that are CG.
Yeah.
No, that goes out the fucking window.
Are you talking about the big chase?
You know we have to get to this. You know we have to talk about it when the moment this movie goes off the fucking rails. I don't even know how to describe it.
Was it Robin Hood, Paul? Did you have a problem with Robin Hood? Or was it Zeus?
This is why I thought that they had purchased, like, they went to Walmart and purchased, like, a video clip art thing, because they're like, fuck it, throw everything in. Like Robin Hood, who else? The Baron,
Red Baron,
like in his goddamn airplane. Red Baron.
Zeus.
Yeah. Zeus.
A fucking pirate ship. He runs by
leprechaun.
A leprechaun.
Yeah, there's a leprechaun. God.
Wasn't the leprechaun also in the scene when he was like with his girlfriend? Wasn't that earlier too?
Yeah, the guy walks past the leprechaun or some shit.
They threw
everything in there, like, towards the end of the movie with, like, 10 minutes left. They're like, we haven't used any of this stuff yet, so chuck it in there.
Yeah, there's a handful of extended scenes or montages that, if you want to give it enough credit to consider it editing, it's a montage, that are way too long. There's, like, that whole scene of, like, satellites fucking each other.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Yeah.
Which apparently the director has been quoted as claiming it was a tribute to Stanley Kubrick.
I was just going to say it was very 2001 in the worst possible way.
Which is also why Lolita was named Lolita, apparently, and the Baron Von or Count Von Cantlove is supposed to be a Doctor Strangelove reference.
Oh, Jesus.
As well as the animated clip art of, like, a Cuban dropping a bomb down, like. Oh, God.
Now, I have to say, though, that the whole montage did bring a tear to my eye when the bulk supposedly died. We cut to a shot of that CGI dog with wings watching the proceedings next to an angel.
Aww.
Did the dog die?
Yeah, he died too, apparently.
I'm so sad the dog died.
The dog dies, apparently.
The CGI dog died. I'm just...
He's in heaven, yeah.
I'm glad as hell.
Oh, my God.
God, yeah, like... There's a whole scene. Okay, so the bulk is running away from the military because the military, after he kills the Baron, the Count Cuntlove.
Okay.
Sorry, Cantlove.
Hey, when you've got CGI clip art of the Red Baron, you've got to be specific.
Oh my God, yeah. So as he's trying, he needs to run away from the military. So there's like a 3 minute long montage with some classical song. I don't know which one it was. And it's him running through, that's what Paul's describing here. Just everything, he's going through a generic background to like literally a golf course with a guy putting a hole in one, and like a rainbow with a leprechaun and a fucking just kangaroos on swings, and like none of it makes sense. And it's two songs. If they were going to do a whole fucking one song on it, it lasts an entire song.
Oh,
and then
no,
that song,
right.
Then that song ends, and another one starts, and they continue the montage. There is literally no reason to do that. Jump to the next thing. They don't. They start a new song and continue the fucking montage of garbage. Did you guys notice in the MS Paint cars that people sit in? Because every car people sat in was made in MS Paint, it seems. Did you guys notice the couches they were sitting on? Like,
oh, were there couches in the car?
It was so obviously a couch they were sitting on. It is
well,
amazing.
There, there's right. a scene later in the movie when the Henry and his girlfriend, they fucking sit down on chairs, but the chairs are CGI. So, you know, they sat on real chairs. They had to replace them with really bad CGI chairs.
Oh, my God.
Come on.
Gotta complete the look.
I think the only real prop might have been the hands. Where the bulk actually like punches a guy, they spray painted purple like the green Hulk hands.
God.
Well, not only that, the scene with the helicopter, they just spray painted the bald cop purple and had him grab that helicopter.
Oh, you're right. That was him. Yeah.
Yeah.
At the end of the movie, the bulk is supposedly killed with the nuclear bomb they drop on him. Right. As is the CGI dog. But he's not. He shows back up at his girlfriend's house, right? Which is also her dad's house. Proposes to her there, finally. And then the dad finds him. They wrestle for about 5 seconds, fall off a balcony, and then die. Like, literally, actually die. Because the next scene is in a CGI, shitty-looking cemetery. The movie ends with him dead until that cop pisses on his grave, and then he comes back to life.
With his fucking Party City Hulk hands.
Amazing Bulk 2.
Jay, what's your question?
Well, I just, you know, I'm thinking about the Amazing Bulk and how it's a kind of the Mockbuster superhero. I was just curious if you guys were going to be Mockbuster superheroes, who would you be?
Excellent question.
I would be the Steel Snowboarder. I like the Silver Surfer. I'd just be like a crappy looking version of a guy who snowboards, but he's like
wait,
all silver.
Wait, hold
shiny.
On a second. Are you saying that you would be Shaquille O'Neal in the movie Steel as a snowboarder?
Yes.
Okay, I like that.
I would be the Mockbuster of the ancient Nordic god Gore, who's trying to fight global warming with lightning, because he's trying to fix electricity through the power of lightning. He's harnessing lightning.
There's a message behind it, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. I just like to go down hills and snow as Shaq, but whatever. You have a cause. All right, Paul, what would you be?
Well, you guys know that I'm a big fan of the Fantastic Four, and I think it's really unfortunate though those movies have not worked out well. I think the main reason is because they call the Thing the Thing. I don't think that's a very good name for him. So I would kind of be a different version of him, and I'd call myself The Rock. And I would have, like, I don't know, like crazy catchphrases, like... It's just off the top of my head, like, do you smell what The Rock is cooking? Something like that, you know?
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So you wouldn't turn into a rock, though, right? Like, you wouldn't have rock skin or anything?
Yeah, I would.
You would? Okay.
Except for your eyebrows.
Yeah, I'd have regular eyebrows and just, like, look like a total, like, cool dude and just, like, I don't know, like, drop elbows on people. It'd be sweet.
That sounds awesome.
Hudson, what do you got?
Chris, you got to round out the team.
I'd be silverwareing, and I would, like, have spoons that... spoons or forks, something really cheap that would pop out of my knuckles, and I'd give people soup.
Silver what?
Silverwareing.
So you would never need, like, a spoon.
Silver?
Yeah, I'd never need a spoon or a fork or anything. I'd just be eating my mashed potatoes with my spoon popping out of my knuckles.
With your...
feeding
with
other
your
people.
Fists.
Oh, silverware. God. I'm over here trying to figure out what you're saying. Silverwareing. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
That's pretty good.
I think this would make a great movie. We should just get some clip art.
Some spoons, some forks.
Yeah, we could do it.
Mike, what's the rating system?
Rating time.
Okay, so I want to rate this 1 out of 100 bulk NATOs.
One?
No, 1 to 100 bulk NATOs. How many bulk NATOs would you give this? Because I think that's kind of what was going on when he transformed. So,
okay.
I'll start it off and I'll tell you guys, Jesus Christ, fuck it. 78 bulk NATOs.
Oh, God.
What?
God.
One of the big appeals of this movie, and when I think about a certain class of B-movies, is watching it with someone who hasn't seen it and enjoying their reaction. Like, this movie has such a goddamn reaction situation to it that I want to experience it with other people so they can, like...
I can confirm that. I'm surprised you haven't yet. You've watched it five fucking times.
I've asked people to watch it with me, and they're like, I'm busy, I can't. I was like, dude, I'll watch it even before, like... But everyone's just been busy. I haven't had a chance to watch this with anyone. So I'm gonna...
Wow. I'd like to be there, Mike.
All right, let's do it, buddy.
Jay, what do you rate it?
I'm gonna go 42 bulk NATOs.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. Wouldn't say it's, you know, among my favorite movies, but I there's a place for it, and there's a time for it, and I can understand that.
I'm going to go a little bit higher than that. I mentioned earlier that I'm really still on the fence as to whether or not this was a complete joke or a genuine effort to make a movie. So I got to go right down the middle. I'm going to go 50 bulk NATOs.
Do I have to rate this movie?
Yeah.
You know what? Okay. Well, here's the thing. I did not like this movie at all. I mean, that was just... I mean, I think...
Really?
I think it had my jaw dropped through the entire... 3-hour and 45-minute runtime. It was just terrible.
that's good. But, that's a good thing.
Well, yeah, I guess so. But having said that, I think Mike's right. I would really like to watch this with someone else just so you have this shared pain.
Yeah.
So
it's like Malort. This movie is the Malort of bad movies.
Oh. Yes. This is cinematic Malort.
I think Malort...
You know, can we just mention real quick, because if we have people listening who are maybe not from the Chicagoland area, Malort is a alcoholic liqueur that is literally the worst. It's like a skunk puking into a bottle. It's the worst thing you've ever tasted.
It's urine passing through a dandelion.
It's sadness mixed with grass clippings.
37 purple asses, or whatever we're rating this as. Butt tornadoes? Is that what we're using? 37 butt tornadoes? I'm gonna give it 37 butt tornadoes, and then, but I could raise it if I get to have someone else. It's like The Ring. You make someone else watch this, you pass your pain on to them.
Guys, good ratings. Great movie, I'm gonna say. On behalf of all of us, fantastic movie.
On the next episode of B-Movie Mania.
Well, guys, there is a hot new young filmmaker out there that I recently discovered, and I want to tell you about him. His name is Neil Breen, and I think you guys...
Breen, 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 Breen,
Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen,
Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen,
Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, Breen, on Amazon Prime. So if you have Amazon Prime, hop on there, check it out. It's called Fateful Findings. And
what's it called again?
Oh boy, Fateful Findings, Chris. Fateful Findings.
Who did it? Who made that movie?
Neil Breen, Mike. His name is Neil Breen.
Listen up, maniacs. Do you have a question or a comment? Would you like to send some bourbon to Uncle Lloydy? You can contact the gang on Facebook or Twitter at BMovieMania. You can also drop them a line at BMovieMania.com. Reach out, touch them. They are touching themselves, and they might just reach back. I'm Lloyd Kaufman saying, see you next time on BMovieMania. Woohoo!